I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
Hi Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, you know we were in Lightning Ridge last week, don't
you? Yes, we were.
And there's so much to see and do around Lightning Ridge.
Is.
We couldn't possibly fit it into one program.
No?
No, not indeed. In fact, this is probably going to be 3 weeks.
Wow.
3 weeks in Lightning Ridge.
But it is a great town.
It is a fantastic town. I love the town of Lightning Ridge.
And some lovely people there.
Absolute great, great people. And we've got some of them on the program this afternoon.
That's correct.
Now, we are going to kick off with Barbara. Do you remember Barbara from last week?
Yes, she was from the Historical Society.
That's correct. Now, Barbara this week is going to be telling us all about the Opal Centre.
Oh,
in Lightning Ridge, yes. And then after that...
Oh, yes.
Who do you think we've got?
Oh, we've got Mel and Susie.
We've got the fantastic duo of Mel and Susie listeners. Now, I've got to tell you, these two ladies are champion bush poets. Did you know that, Lynn, that they're actually champions? They won medals.
Yes, I did.
You did know that?
Yes, and they are just fantastic
they
to watch.
They are such lovely ladies. Now,
so
did you
talented.
Know? They are, they are. And did you know they teamed up in Western Queensland and performed their two women show around Australia?
Yes.
You knew that?
Yes, I did.
Goodness me, you know
and
more.
And you can see them at Lightning Ridge as well.
Well, you can surely see them at Lightning Ridge. I bet this is something you don't know about Mel and Susie. Did you know that they used to travel wildly in their colourful ex-Japanese library bus with their cat?
No, I did not know that.
Something I know about them that you didn't know about them. Well, we are going to get them on. But before we get them on, I would like to play one of my most favourite Australian poems.
Ah, yes.
Do you know which one it is?
Yes, it's The Man from Snowy River.
A.B. Patterson's Man from Snowy River. And the one we're going to play has got Mel and Susie reciting it and the late Milton Taylor.
Yes.
Okay. And then we are finally going to finish up with Amigo's Castle.
Yes. And he's such a character as well.
Amigo, I must tell you, listeners, Amigo is quite the character. Unbelievable and very funny chat we had with him.
Yes, and built this castle all by himself.
All by himself. Built this castle out of bits of rock that he found on the side of the road.
Yep.
Brought it back to where his castle stands now. And originally, I think he built it hoping to find his princess in Lightning Ridge.
I'm not too sure.
I think so, but it didn't.
I'll have to listen to the interview.
You'll have to listen to the chat. But it didn't happen, but he's still very happy and he's got this wonderful attraction there in Lightning Ridge called Amigo's Castle. So that's the program coming up.
Plus Aussie music selected by the people we interview.
A fantastic selection of Aussie music as requested by the people we interview. That's correct, Lynn. So what do you reckon, Lynn? On with the show! Phil C here, listeners, with Roaming Oz, and I'm in Lightning Ridge at the Australian Opal Centre, and Barbara is going to tell us all about this wonderful centre. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine, thank you, Phil, thanks for coming into our little fossil showroom.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about the fossil showroom, paint us a picture in words for our listeners.
I would love to do that, because here at Lightning Ridge, we not only have opal, but we have opalized fossils.
Okay.
And they're unique in the world.
Right.
And they're opalized because the opal in Australia is sedimentary. That means it's laid down with water. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have a few dinosaurs that have been laid down. Mm-hmm. And opal is formed during the age of dinosaurs.
Right.
So it's a pretty exciting discovery. And if it weren't for opal miners, nobody would ever see these fossils.
Right.
Our collection, and this is only a tiny little display that we have to show you, are gifts or specimens donated by opal miners for tax credits.
Right.
So I'd just like to alert you to the fact that opal mining is a business this century.
Uh-huh.
It's not just grandpa digging down the back. You can't fly by the seat of your pants anymore. You've got to have some credentials and big bucks in your pocket.
Right.
I know we have Outback Opal Hunters on the television that paint quite a different picture. But be aware, coming to the Opal Center is something that you'll remember and want to return to because it's a work in progress. And when you drive out on the yellow car doors, you will come to the excavation that is all ready to go. The building we have a model of here for you to look at. It's solar paneled roof with vents that capture the breezes. It sits in the ground, and it's designed by Sydney architect Glenn Murcutt, who's well known in the world for his ability to deal with the semi-arid environment.
Okay.
Now, I know it doesn't look very semi-arid at the moment because we've got the weeds growing up around your ears.
Uh-huh.
But ordinarily, we don't have that much rainfall. It's an exciting project. It's moving along. We have $20 million already from the state and federal governments and our local shire.
Mm-hmm.
It's community-based. It's a non-profit organization. And we represent all of the opal fields in Australia, because we're the longest surviving opal town.
Okay.
And of course, we're closest to the Big Smoke.
Yes.
And to the coast where everybody else lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the way to somewhere these days.
Absolutely.
I mean, with the storytelling of the Historical Society, we bring these opals and fossils alive.
Okay. So these, you mentioned before about the fossils here, that this is New South Wales. And we were talking about Queensland before. So tell us about the difference here. Queensland, New South Wales with the fossils.
Thank you for remembering that, because we are the beginning of the trail that goes up into Queensland.
Right.
Some of you have been to Winton,
mm-hmm.
and of course their wonderful display. Ours is the beginning of that trail, and we're the only dinosaur fossil site in New South Wales.
Right.
Now up in Queensland, the Boulder Opal is what you may know. It's the opal in the cracks of ironstone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here at Lightning Ridge, we have lots of ironstone, but it seems to only attract lightning. And I find that so strange that Boulder Opal seems to stop at the border, and that's only about 30 kilometers north.
Okay, so you've got no explanation, no theory as to what...
Well, when you think of ironstone, of course, that is volcanic.
Okay.
It's heat and pressure, but the cracks fill with that sedimentary opal.
Mm-hmm.
And Lightning Ridge Opal, I mean, maybe this is why we have... a reliable resource of black opal, but our opal is freshwater opal, where White Cliffs, Coober Pedy, and on west of us is saltwater opal. We were on the edge of the Billabong.
Okay.
Now, we have lots of opal in North America, but it's all volcanic.
Uh-huh.
It cracks. It's a different style of a gemstone. Mm. So not only do we have such a reliable resource of opal in Australia that's accessible, we have the opalized fossils. And that is something to crow about, and why we are doing this wonderful in-the-ground building. It's the Australian Opal Centre, and you'll want to come and see the progress, because we are moving forward,
mm-hmm.
and you'll never know how long it'll take us to get down there with our formations.
Okay, so because I was going to ask you, like, that's quite a big building.
Yes.
And have you got any idea as to when that's going to be completed?
Well, I think that what we're doing is stages, and I believe that the first stage is meant to be open late 22.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we will at least be able to walk in, and there'll be, you know, it'll be a work in progress as we walk in, but at least we'll see something.
Yes.
And this is what we're looking forward to, is seeing something. We have a wonderful website, in case you'd like to Google us, AustralianOpalCentre.com.
Okay.
Yes. And there's all sorts of information in there. But our little showcase, we have the tiniest little pine cones that are opalized, but they have a very big story to tell. And because we are freshwater opal here, we have river pippies, we have vegetation, we have lungfish tooth plates, yabby buttons, and as you'll remember from your knowledge at school, most opal has no color.
Okay.
It's called potch. Now, here at the Opal Center, we also have some display of social elements found in the old diggings, like rusty bits. And, we do have a set of opal teeth. They weren't found underground, but they certainly have been a curiosity over the years. We had an entrepreneur come to town back in the 60s.
Right.
And he was from Parks, very uh-huh. local. But he just thought it would be kind of fun to have his dentures carved in opal.
Okay.
And he knew just the dentist in Parks who would do it for him. So he flashed his gums to so many people who just, he couldn't stop smiling and got tired of that.
Yeah.
So he took them out and put them in the Diggers Rest Hotel here in a little niche so that they were always smiling at everybody.
Okay.
And one day they went missing. Well, there was a great hoo-ha in the town that they'd been stolen. As a matter of fact, they hadn't been stolen. And eventually, the Opal Center was given the teeth because the name of our little local newspaper for the Opal and Fossil Center is Harold Hodges' opal teeth.
Okay.
And Harold Hodges lives on forever with us and his teeth that are in the showcase, and we have a nice panel of his teeth on the wall outside our little showroom. And in fact, a little book has just been published about his story and the teeth.
Okay.
It's a bit of fun. So social history is very much a part of it. And at the Historical Society, of course, as mentioned, it's our opal, our collection of stories and documentation that brings these opals and fossils alive and makes them memorable.
Fantastic.
You have that little anecdote?
Mm. So it's definitely a place you'd recommend tourists to come and have a look at.
It's a must-see place because this building is going to be iconic.
Yes.
It is said it will rival the Sydney Opera House.
This new building?
The new building. We just hope the cost doesn't quite raise that high.
Okay.
And fingers crossed for us.
Fantastic.
But things are happening, and it's all very much a part of all of us because we've worked hard to get this far.
With a lot
of support from outside people like yourselves who come to visit us, drop a little tin, money in our tin, and, of course, visit our town and go underground and become opal lovers.
It's
our national gemstone.
And the important thing, too, you just mentioned your tin there, because a lot of the things in Lightning Ridge are volunteer-based, aren't they?
They certainly are, and that's because we're the last part of the Shire to join up in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of considered the renegades, really.
Right.
Because lots of people go away in the summer months. Others are staying more and more permanently because we have modern air conditioning now, and we have modern everything that you think you want in the comfort of your traveling and in your life. So more and more people are spending time here, and of course it's a great place to retire because, gosh, you can just walk up and down the street and pick up opal. It's the truth. It's the thrill of the chase. It's a lifestyle, I assure you. Come and find out.
So we've got to just keep looking down to the ground, is that correct?
We're not stupid, we're hopeful.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Barbara. It's been another pleasure chatting with you here at the Opal Centre.
Well, thank you for coming in and thank you for asking about it.
Oh, definitely. Now I'm going to play you a song. What is another favourite song of yours? Favourite band, favourite song, got to be Aussie.
Well, I'll tell you what, because we're talking about dinosaurs 100 million years ago, what about Sounds of Then?
Okay.
By Jinja Jang.
Jinja Jang. Ganga Jang.
Ganga Jang.
All right. That's it. Not a problem. Well, stick around, listeners. After Ganga Jang, we'll be back with more Roman Oz. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go, Barbara. There is your song selection, Sounds of Then. Going back to 1985 with that one by Australian rock band Ganga Jang from their self-titled debut album, Ganga Jang. All right, now we are about to bring Mel and Susie into the program, okay? But before we do that, I would just like to give you a little snippet of their wonderful, wonderful talent. They are, as I said, they're Australian bush champions in poetry. And this is my most favourite poem, okay? In fact, I did request it when I saw Mel and Susie back in 2017 at the Opal Caravan Park in Lightning Ridge. And Mel so graciously recited it for me. Now, I'm going to play you this particular poem, which is called The Man from Snowy River. Now, it's got Mel and Susie and Milton, who is now sadly no longer with us, okay, Milton Taylor. It's from one of Mel and Susie's albums. It's called My Country, Australia's favourite bush verse, recited by Mel, Susie and Milton Taylor, folks. All right, so I'm going to put this on right now, and then after that we are going to have Mel and Susie from Lightning Ridge.
Since the 1890s, one bush poem has held the imagination and the spirit of the Australian people. That poem is The Man from Snowy River by A.B. Patterson. There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away
and had joined the wild bush horses.
He was worth £1,000.
So all the cracks had gathered to the fray.
All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight.
For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight.
There was Harrison. He made his pile when Pard and won the cup. The old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could stay beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse and man could go.
And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand.
No better horseman ever held the reins.
For never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. He learnt to ride while droving on the plains.
And one was there, a stripling, on a small and weedy beast.
He was something like a racehorse, undersized, with a touch of Timor pony.
Three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized.
He was hard and tough and wiry.
Just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread.
And he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head.
But still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said,
"That horse'll never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stop away. These hills are far too rough for such as you."
So he waited, sad and wistful.
Only Clancy stood his friend.
"I think we ought to let him come,"
he said,
"for I warrant he'll be with us when he's needed at the end. For both his horse and he are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hoofs strike firelight from the flintstones every stride. The man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen."
So he went.
They found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders.
"Boys, go at 'em from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them. Try and wheel them to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could keep that mob in sight if once they gain the shelter of those hills."
So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing,
where the best and boldest riders take their place.
And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face.
Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but saw their well-loved mountain full in view.
And they charged beneath the stockwhip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew.
Then fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread.
And the stockwhips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead.
And upward,
ever upward,
the wild horses held their way where mountain ash and Kurrajong grew wide.
And the old man muttered fiercely,
"We may bid the mob g'day. No man can hold them down the other side."
When they reached the mountain's summit, even Clancy took a pull.
It well might make the boldest hold their breath. And the wild hop scrub grew thickly.
And the hidden ground was full of wombat holes.
And any slip was death.
But the man from Snowy River let his pony have his head. And he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet.
He cleared the fallen timber in his stride.
And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat.
It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride.
Through the stringy barks and saplings, over rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent.
He was right among the horses as they climbed the further hill.
And the watchers on the mountain, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely.
He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit.
Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges. But a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels.
And he ran them
single-handed
till their sides were white with foam.
He followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted brought them back.
But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur.
But his pluck was still undaunted, and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur.
And down by Kosciuszko,
where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and ragged battlements on high,
where the air is clear as crystal,
and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky,
and where, around the overflow, the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes,
and the rolling plains are wide,
the man from Snowy River is a household word today.
And the stockmen tell the story of his ride.
My name's Phil C, and this is Roaming Oz, and I'm in Lightning Ridge with two of its very famous characters, Mel and Susie. Now, they are the bush poets and comedians in Lightning Ridge. How are you today, ladies?
G'day, Phil.
G'day, Phil. We're wonderful today.
We're real good.
Sun's shining, everything's perfect in beautiful Lightning Ridge.
Fantastic, ladies. Now, I'm going to just ask a few questions. First of all, Mel, how long have you been doing bush poetry?
For me, well over 20 years, Phil.
Okay.
Well over 20 years, but I've always been raised with bush poetry. My father has been writing poetry since before I was born,
mm-hmm.
and that would be probably 20 years or so now.
Lucky you can't see your viewers.
Radio's good for that, isn't it?
Actually, we're sitting here in our pyjamas and you don't know.
As I did say, listeners, they are comics as well as fantastic poets. Keep going, Mel. Tell us more.
Well, I've always grown up with poetry. My father, instead of reading us bedtime stories, he would recite his poetry to us, and he'd follow us around the house reciting his latest poem to Mum or my brother or I, whoever would be there. So I've always loved poetry. Banjo Paterson, Henry Lawson, my father's work. And in my mid-30s, I started to perform and have just been performing ever since. I love reciting poetry in front of an audience. I love the connection you get with that.
Then Melanie discovered that there's a competition circuit all over Australia. Small towns have beautiful small competitions. Then they go up to state competitions. And if you're really interested and passionate about competing with bush poetry, you can compete in the national title to become the Australian champion bush poetry reciter. So as soon as Melanie discovered that there were these little competitions, she started to go in them. And guess what? She started to win them almost immediately. She had a lot of success.
And Susie was the same when she first started to compete in the bush poetry competitions. The same story as me. Her first competition, she won, and she very quickly rose up and became an Australian champion. So it's a wonderful way to hone your reciting skills.
So quite a few years ago, Melanie entered a competition out in Winton. They were so very fortunate. For 10 years, they were sponsored by Qantas, which of course began its life out in Winton. It was called the Qantas Bush Poetry Australian Championships, and the male and female winner of that competition were able to fly then to America and perform at the Cowboy Poets Gatherings and do concerts all over the west coast of America and some of the central states. And Melanie, in 2004, the very final year that Qantas actually sponsored it, Melanie won that competition and she got to go out to America and blow their minds with some Aussie bush poetry. Just tell them about the airport.
I got to the airport because I was being picked up by an American couple, and they said, we'll never recognise you in amongst all of the people. Right. How will we find you there? And I said, have a look for a 5-foot-tall woman with a black Akubra on her head, because I figured I'd be the only woman in that Denver airport with a black Akubra on my head.
Right.
And I was right. They'd never heard of Akubras in America. They had a sign that said Melanie Hall, and I found them. And over tea that night, she said to me, oh, Melanie, I was so embarrassed. I read your email and I said to Eldon, what's an Accubra? And why would she be wearing a foundation garment on her head? That's a true story.
Unbelievable, girls. Now, when did you actually come together as a working team?
Melanie was very lucky again. She inherited a park out in Queensland, in Western Queensland, in Winton, from probably the best bush poet that we've had since Banjo Paterson, a fellow called Milton Taylor. A lot of the listeners will have heard of Milton and seen him perform. Sadly, we lost him 5 or 6 years ago. But when he packed up in Winton, he left the park to Melanie. And I was practising for the Australian Championship. She said, come out here and just work with me for a few weeks, get some good practice in front of an audience. Well, what happened was we discovered that we clicked on stage so incredibly well. We've got exact opposite skills. So Melanie likes a nice structured show, and I like to free fall and ad lib everything. And we discovered that, in fact, we learned so much. I learned about structuring a show. Melanie learned about being a little bit looser and going with whatever happened in the audience. We discovered that we performed duo work very, very tightly and well together. But most importantly, I think we are so lucky, Phil. We're so lucky because we learn a poem very, very quickly.
Okay.
We can take a poem the length of something like Mulga Bill's Bicycle, and we can learn that in less than an hour, and we can perform that on stage that night.
Really?
Now, you'll never polish it up to competition standard, but as long as you're putting that in front of an audience, it's in your brain and you're working on that poem the whole time. Mm. We're so fortunate that we've got... And that comes from knowing a lot of poetry when you're a child and having parents dribbling poems into your ear from the earliest, earliest age.
Which we both had. My father was a writer of poetry and dribbled his poetry into our ear, but Susie's parents used to read her The Pied Piper of Hamelin as a bedtime story. Right. Poetry as bedtime stories, because she's actually Scottish. She was 12 when they came to Australia, so she's got all the British poetry behind her.
Yeah, I grew up with all the British romantic poets, Tennyson and Byron and Blake and all of those, Browning and everything. I just have to say to your listeners, though, I wonder if they know we're in the edge of the outback, 70 k's short of the Queensland border because of all the apostle birds in the background, Phil. Aren't they wild?
They are indeed. We're actually sitting at a hidden gem where we're doing this, listeners. Now, tell us all about A Hidden Gem, girls.
A Hidden Gem's our property in Lightning Ridge. There's an artist here called John Murray who has been in Lightning Ridge since the 80s, and he's an absolutely wonderful man and a fantastic artist.
People will have noticed as they travel outside the metropolitan area that there's a really wonderful new fad of painting water towers
and there is.
Silos.
Absolutely.
So there's a whole silo trail that you can... some of these pictures are just... they're mind-blowingly wonderful, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And same with water towers. So our local wonderful John Murray's been painting water towers. He's off to Bourke at the moment. But he's just done the one in Walgett. And you may know... most of you, all your listeners, of course, will have heard of Jimmy Little. What a wonderful singer.
Yes.
Yeah, so Jimmy was a Yorta Yorta man, but he did have a connection to Walgett. I think his wife came from Walgett. And his daughter, Franny Peters Little, lives here in Lightning Ridge. And John's just done... they've just commissioned that beautiful water tower in Walgett with mm-hmm. the Jimmy Little portrait. And John does a lot of water towers around here. He's a great artist.
He is. Artist. And when we came to Lightning Ridge, I fell in love with the town. I wanted to buy property here straight away. You can buy a mining claim with a little caravan and a shed on it for $5,000 if you're lucky. And I had a couple of grand in my pocket and I thought, let's buy a place. I want to live here. I love Opal. And I really did just fall in love with the country and the people here. And we came to buy a different property, but I think someone was looking after us and it was meant to be the property that we originally came to buy. Didn't work out, it fell through, and we went to the real estate agent. We said to Kim, show us what you've got in Lightning Ridge, and she said, this property's just come on the market, and it's just...
and this is the one we're at?
This is the one we're at. We've called it a hidden gem.
It's a beautiful place.
See, the idea in Lightning Ridge is, from the outside, you don't want your property to look really good. You don't want people to think you're on Opal or you've got anything down your mine. So everywhere looks like a tip. Everywhere looks like a bit of a dump. There's old daggy old cars and there's old rusty iron. But when you get behind that rusty iron, people are so creative here. They're so wonderful. They start... working with iron or wood or bottles. We've got bottle walls and bottle houses up here out of sheer necessity because they didn't have any other building materials. And so they started, I'm going to have to get another six-pack, love. I'm putting on an extension.
Oh, goodness me.
So this property was built by John Murray. He built everything here. He started with basically a shed. He built what we call the old camp. He's built part of it dug out, so it's partly below ground and partly above ground. It's beautiful cypress pine logs as the foundations of the walls.
We must be the recycling capital of the world. Yeah. So everything that our property is made of has been reused, reloved, pre-loved, recycled.
Mosaic paths that Vicky Murray made from old tiles that she's reused, and windows that have been reused from skyscrapers in Melbourne.
They might have a few cracks, but that just adds character.
It does indeed. It does indeed. And your bottle wall.
Our bottle fence, yes.
That is absolutely brilliant. I think I'm going to build one of those when I get home, actually.
So, listeners, what we've done, we just drilled a little hole up the bum of the bottle and then we've put a piece of Rio through the bottle and threaded them all up the Rio. So in the afternoon, the sun just shines through the bottles and we get this wonderful, wonderful pattern on the concrete, and you've recycled all your bottles into a unique, amazing fence.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, what about the a hidden gem? Let's go back to that just momentarily, because you do performances here. You work at the Opal Caravan Park. And you're pretty much there every day of the week, aren't you? Every night of the week there.
Monday to Friday at the Opal Caravan Park for this particular season.
And we do a happy hour show there for all the...
4:30 to 5:30. It's always family friendly and it's always lots of fun. If there's kids in the audience, we'll get them to hop up and do a poem with us, because we despair, Phil. We absolutely lament the fact that a lot of Australian school children do their primary schooling these days and they never get to hear about Banjo Paterson, Henry Lawson. We ask the school kids who wrote Waltzing Matilda, and they say, what's Waltzing Matilda? We're all a wonderfully, proudly, happily multicultural society, and we know that and we love that. And I'm a migrant, for heaven's sake. I love this country with all my heart. But there's got to be room for that Aussie culture too. Yeah. There's got to be room for a little bit of Waltzing Matilda and I Love a Sunburnt Country. And the kids are just... completely ignorant of it. Yeah, they've got no idea. And our idea is to make it fun for the children, make it really fun.
And when we go to the schools and we perform in front of the children, or we've got children in our audience and we perform in front of them, it's so immediate. Children Everything is screen-based these days. Yes. They've all got their mobile phones, they've all got their little iPads and their little tablets, and they play games and they do everything on a screen. But to see a performance that's happening right in front of you that includes the children and involves the children...
Yep. Where anything might happen anything at might any happen. Moment. Yeah. It's exactly. completely spontaneous and anything might happen.
And if we can just switch one kid on to going and having a look at a Banjo Paterson poem, or one kid to maybe go and pick up a pen and have a go at writing a poem, it's so rewarding for us. During the school holidays, we sometimes have families in the park and their kids will come every day, 3 or 4 days, and they get up and perform with us every day. And we've had children come and say, I wrote this poem last night.
Oh, wow.
Can I read it? And we say, of course. And they get up on the stage and they read this little poem that they've written. And it's
we have tears in our eyes. We're so happy.
Yes.
Must be, yeah.
Every now and then we get an incredible reward, an incredible surprise. A few years ago we went to a primary school in Warren, which is, as you know, not that far from Dubbo.
Yep.
Warren, Nevertire, Narromine, back down to Dubbo. And the whole of the 3-4 class were able to recite The Man from Snowy River.
Their teacher was really passionate about Australian bush poetry, and the entire class stood up and recited that poem to us.
We wept.
We were babbling idiots.
We were just, honestly, we cried. There was tears and snot and bodily fluids going everywhere. It was just, and we've been to another
so
school
beautiful.
Where the whole of the 5 or 6 class knew the Mulga Bill's Bicycle, and we so appreciate it when, say, for example, a little town like Orange, a Rotary has picked up the fact that Banjo Paterson was born down there. Now they've got a festival. Now the schools have all had workshops. Now they're picking it up more and more. And it's just a matter of embracing our own culture, which I think is so important for the kids to just to be grounded in that notion of a fair go and she'll be right, mate, and
mateship.
Working hard and mateship.
Well, listeners, I've actually spent a couple of hours here now with Mel and Susie at A Hidden Gem where they do a performance. They supply morning tea. They've got so much memorabilia in here. Banjo Paterson, Henry Lawson, and all the trophies that you've won, Mel. Your family must be so proud.
My dad's very proud of me. When I first started to compete and I won my Australian championship, the first one, in Charters Towers, my dad was like a little bantam rooster plucking all the feathers out of his chest. That's my daughter up there. That's my girl.
Yes.
And we've been working together so long now that mum and dad say, Have you seen the girls? Yeah. It's a lovely thing to carry on that family tradition because dad writes and recites and his father was a performer and a storyteller as well. So 100 years of storytelling in the family. It's a wonderful tradition.
Yeah, and not only that though. I mean, you're doing bush poetry and you do charity work as well, and you're going into the schools. But you also got this great cruise that you've been on too. Tell us just a little bit about that cruise.
We were so very lucky. Our wonderful friend Grant Lurs, who's a country music singer and an ABC radio presenter down at Wagga Wagga, Grant said to us, "Hey, girls, I'm getting together a breakfast comedy show for the country music cruise." And we looked at him with our eyes big and like, oh, can we come? That's why I'm mentioning it, girls. So we hop on to the country music cruise. Well, there's one due in November this year, but we're all a little worried in case it mightn't go ahead
with COVID. Yeah.
But if it does, it'll be a country music and rock cruise combined.
Right.
So we've got Susie Quattro. Who knew that she was still alive, eh? That's wonderful. Susie Quattro, and didn't we all rock down to her?
Absolutely.
Oh man, we all loved Susie.
So
she'd be on the cruise if it goes ahead.
If it goes ahead.
And then of course they've got all the great country music artists from Australia, John Williamson and Troy Cassidaly and all the wonderful artists that we've known.
And right down the bottom of the bill, the bush poets.
The very last line. Oh, Mel and Susie.
Mel and Susie as well.
It's great
well.
Fun to do all the right. cruise. We really enjoy that. It's really
an exciting holiday really for us.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine this. Look, you girls, you're only young. You're not. Yes, no, I'm seriously.
So, Phil hasn't been to the optometrist for ages, listeners, and he really needs to go and get his glasses checked. I'm 60 this year.
Should have went to Specsavers.
Seriously, he needs to get back to Specsavers because he's peering at me over the way going, "You're just young," and I'm thinking, oh.
Well, what I mean by that is, I mean, I know you were 60, but I wasn't going to mention that, but you've still got a lot of years ahead of you where your poetry is concerned. For your hidden gem, you've obviously got big plans for that, and you're obviously going to make Lightning Ridge Yes, your home for the rest of your life.
I think so. We've been here for 6 years, I think, now, and it's just a love wonderful
town. Do you know it's the friendliest place I've ever lived in my life? And I can't get over. If you want to be part of this community, they will embrace you. The thing about being older, though, Phil, is it works if you're female and you're a comedian, because we're getting fatter and fatter with every year. We just
and
can't shift it.
And wrinklier.
We're getting wrinklier. And do you know you can get naughtier and naughtier with your
the
comedy?
Older you get, it's
the older
great.
You get, the better, the funnier that you can be, because you can get away with outrage. They think, oh, it's just an old woman saying that. And it's fantastic. You can get away with blue murder.
Shirley Friend, one of the naked poets, is an absolutely wonderful performer, and she's got to be in her 80s now, and she just looks like everybody's grandma. She's a little short, grey-haired lady, and she says the most outrageous things. And she gets away with it. And we keep thinking, give us another 10 years.
So you could possibly be doing nude poetry in the next 10 to 20 years?
Never know,
definitely.
And one other good thing you said about the community here in Lightning Ridge is if you die, they'll bury you in your mine shaft. It costs you nothing.
We've got a community-based, a voluntary funeral service. Yep. Is that not incredible?
That's fantastic.
It doesn't mean you have to volunteer to die. It's not like a suicide assistant.
I volunteered last year.
Yeah, I had to dig you up. You weren't ready. No one called your number. But it's a beautiful idea that if you're living alone on a camp and living, because we get a lot of vets come up here to escape.
Yep.
We had a lot of people who just have had a gutful of the city. They don't want that life. They want to do their own thing out here, and no one's going to ask them questions or bother them.
Yep.
And if something bad happens to them, it's so beautiful to know the Miners Association will tell all their pals and let them, all their friends know. Mm. The local mayor will do. I find that hard to say in Australian. The local mayor will come out and do a eulogy at our local cemetery, and the community will throw on a little bit of a wake. It's a beautiful idea. It works a lot better now that we've got an old fridge from the club.
You struggle to say mayor, but you can say eulogy. Oh, listeners, as you can see, Mel and Susie, two fantastic ladies, absolute wonderful comedians, fantastic poets. And if you're in Lightning Ridge, you make sure you go to the Opal Caravan Park, see them perform there live. And if you miss them live at the Opal, come out to a hidden gem.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank
That's
you,
a beautiful
Phil.
Thing. Well, lovely to have you out here, you and Lynn out here, and your little strange small dog.
Yes, which he thinks he's just a little Scottish terrier. Before we wind this up, girls, I've got to play a song. It's got to be Australian. Who's your favourite artist?
Well, Willow, I love John Williamson so much, but I especially love that he's written a really beautiful song all about Lightning Ridge.
Do you know any of it?
I know all of it.
Do you want to give us just a few bars to wind this up?
He's a dreamer, he's a drinker, a bull ant in a hole. He's a schemer, he's a thinker, he's a lonely soul. He's gouging for the opal, like a wombat or a mole, way out here in Lightning Ridge.
Oh, there you go, listeners. What an incredible performance. Mel and Susie from Lightning Ridge. Stick around for that Williamson classic, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Don't ask any questions. Don't snoop around his claim. He'll be out with a dog and a shotgun. Who knows what he's hiding? Why he makes his stand. Men like him are buried alive with opals in their hands. Well, they say he came from Lismore. That's about all we know. He came for a weekend only 20 years ago. Well, he must have had money in the bank, for he's found a lot more than potch. For every month he sends a cab for another case of scotch. He's a dreamer, he's a drinker, a bull ant in a hole. He's a schemer, he's a thinker, he's a lonely soul. He's gouging for the opal, like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Below the leopard wood, below the bimble box, get your thrill on Lunatic Hill. Flashes of dancing colour, green and gold and red, mix it with black and you're on your back, digging until you're dead. Well, it's not about a fancy car, it's not about the cash. They passed the hat for a swimming pool and built it in a flash. No, it's all about the opal, you get it in your eye. You see a glimpse of heaven with angels in the sky. And you're a dreamer, you're a drinker, a bull and in a hole. You're a schemer, you're a thinker, you're a lonely soul. You're gouging for the opal like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Sing with me. He's a dreamer, he's a drinker, a bull and in a hole. He's a schemer, he's a thinker, he's a lonely soul. He's gouging for the opal like a wombat or a mole, way out there at Lightning Ridge. Way out there at Lightning Ridge.
With overseas travel in lockdown, there's no better time to see what's offered in your own backyard. And if you want to do it in style, with all the bells and whistles, then 7th Street Caravans, located at 2212 Pacific Highway, Heatherbrae, is where the journey begins. Check out their range. Paramount, Silver Valley, Road Trip and Option RV. With dozens of layouts, there's something for everyone's needs. 7th Street also has a large range of pre-loved vans. They won't be beaten on price, so grab yourself a knockout deal today. Phone Aidan and the team on 4987 5288 or check out the website 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
Well, listeners, welcome back. My name is Phil C, and we're still roaming Oz at Lightning Ridge at the moment with Amigo at his fantastic castle that you built. How are you today, Amigo?
I feel good today.
Yeah? You're feeling good? You look good, my friend. It was about 4 years ago that I saw you last time, and you're looking very fit. How have you been going with the castle? Have you done any improvements, or you've just laying back a bit?
I'm laying back a bit, but I done a little job there, like build another wishing well.
Okay.
Over a square shaft that I dug 40 years ago.
Okay.
Because I want to put all my work I done here in on this two climb.
Right.
All together, so people can see that I didn't sit on my bum.
Definitely not sitting on your backside, I've got to tell you that, Amigo. Now, how long would it have taken you? And I know you worked only during the winter, because in summer you said you mined.
Yeah.
So roughly how long did it take you to build this incredible castle of yours?
Yeah, like you said, that because in the summer it's so hot here, and you can only work 8 months of the year.
Yes.
So I built this castle over a period of 30 years, 35.
Right. Okay.
But when I was doing it, I didn't work just 8 hours a day.
No?
I worked 18 hours.
Oh, really?
More or less, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So you woke up early in the morning before it got hot, and you just continued into the night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Until the sun set.
Right.
And then I prepare for the day after.
Uh-huh.
I get all things on the spot, so I didn't lose time.
Right. So what was the reason for you wanting to build this castle in the middle of Lightning Ridge?
Well, I come to this town in 1973.
Right.
That was 48 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I came here to find a fortune, to find opals.
Okay. You know? Like so many did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in those days, a couple hundred thousand was enough, you know. Now you need to find $2 million.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But then the first 20 years, I was doing opal mining full time.
Right.
Different opal field. And then one day I said to myself, if you don't find the real McCoy
strike. Yep.
I'll be living in a caravan for the rest of my life.
Okay.
So when I was going mining, I see all these rocks lying on the side of the road. So I start picking them up and bring them home and start building.
Look, this is incredible. Picking up rocks on the side of the road. How many rocks, like, how many tons of material do you think would be here? Had a guess. I mean, it's a huge complex.
It's hard to say because you have to put together not just the rocks, the gravel mix, the cement. I use about 1,200 bags of cement, you know, the real 40-kilo one, you know.
Right.
And at the time, people say, where did you get the money to do this? To build this, when I start, it's like somebody going to the pub and spend $20 in those days.
Yes.
And with me, $20, I buy 5-6 bags of cement.
Okay, so I understand. Yes, rather than buy a beer at the end of the day, you chose to buy concrete.
Yeah, but I didn't run short of drink either.
No. So how tall is the structure behind us? Because that's the tallest part of the castle. How tall is that?
Yeah, I measure the tower is 28 feet.
Right.
So that's about what?
28 feet? That'd be about 4 or 5 meters?
Yeah.
So
yeah, 5 meters.
Meters? It's the five is 15? No, 6, 7 meters.
Yeah.
Roughly. 8 meters, 24 feet. 8 meters, approximately. How did you get 8 meters in the air with all these huge stones and rocks and bags of cement, or mixed up cement?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Oh, just because I was young, you know, like I started this, I was 32 years of age, and I was still pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I was just beginning to get strong.
Okay.
And I had a 44-gallon drum scaffold.
Right.
And I had different, to get to one scaffold, I had to build another one. I was going like sort of from one to that. So every rock, like I say, it's been handled 5-6 times. You know, when you pick them up, you have to put it on the truck, then you dump the truck, then you put it in the wheelbarrow, and then you bring it to the spot, and you dump it, put it on scaffold.
And that, I mean, some of these rocks are huge, and 8 meters in the air.
Yeah, it's...
You didn't need a rope and a block and tackle to pull them up, no?
No, I never did, yeah.
You just lifted them up?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, man.
And then at some stage when I was up near the top, I even carried some up the stairway.
Incredible, incredible. And this was only because you didn't want to end up living in a caravan for the rest of your life? You wasn't building this for your princess or something?
That's another side of the story.
Okay.
Yeah, they all ask... Yeah, we can say that too.
Okay.
But she, not that she never turned up.
You were too fussy, Amiga.
Yeah.
That's it. You were looking for that very special princess. Somebody with large muscles who could help you lift the rocks and concrete.
Sometime I tell a story that I built this because I didn't have a wife.
Okay.
And I had to lose my energy somewhere. So I started building this.
Incredible stuff. Oh, I got to tell you, Amiga, you still got your sense of humor. You still look incredibly fit. You're not going to continue to build, though, are you? Do you think you will?
I like to do it.
Okay.
But nowadays, because it takes so long.
Yeah.
And now I'm 74 years old. And. Okay. Before, you think you live forever, like, you know, and you keep doing.
Yes.
And they're only little jobs.
Okay.
I could do a few more jobs, you know, like the tiny wall.
Okay. So what about open mining now? You said you used to mine during the winter months the summer months?
Yeah,
so you're still doing any mining? Have you found your those beautiful black opals that's... so well known out here in Oakwood, Lightning Ridge.
You know why they call it opal? It's the gem of the never never.
What?
Because you never find it.
But you did continue to look.
Yeah.
And along your journey, you built this incredible castle.
I was going out to Grawin to give somebody a hand shoveling the dirt.
Uh-huh.
Not to look for opal, because at the end of the day, the work, we used to go in the pubs
and have
a few beers.
That's a good idea. That's a good reason for a beer. Go out and sweat it out in the opal fields.
Yeah.
But you never found it, and you're not mining anymore. You're just happy to enjoy this wonderful castle you've created.
In the beginning, I found opals, you know.
Yeah.
But not enough. If you're lucky if you make a living out of opal mining.
Yeah, that's what I've told.
But now, at this age, I know where it is.
You do?
Yep.
Can you show me later? I'll do the digging.
It can be only where I didn't dig.
You've got a great sense of humour, Amiga. Oh, my friend, I'm going to have to wind this up. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, all right, thanks.
It's been an incredible, incredible time chatting with you. I'm going to play you an Aussie song.
Yeah,
Now, who's your favourite Aussie artist? Do you like Paul Kelly or do you like Slim Dusty or John Williamson?
Yeah, no, when you get older, then there is new one coming out.
Yeah.
Paul Kelly, actually, they reckon his grandparents, they were sort of Italian-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, they were opera singers or fantastic. Something like that.
Well, I'm
not sure yet.
How about if we play Paul Kelly's Dumb Things?
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Good, because to do this, you have to be dumb. Yeah. You have to have rocks in your head.
Thank you so much for your time, amigo. Listeners, stick around for Paul Kelly's Dumb Things, and we'll be back with more straight after that of Roamin' Oz. Listeners, that was Paul Kelly's Dumb Things, going out to Mario from Mario's Castle, and anything but a dumb thing. Okay, Mario, what a fantastic achievement for one man to build such a structure with rocks that he's found alongside the road. So anybody visiting Lightning Ridge, you've got to go and check out Mario's Castle. I also want to let you know, listeners, that Mel and Susie, they've got three albums. Follow them on Facebook. And if you do want to buy any of their albums, why not let them know either on Facebook or message them, Mel and Susie on Tour, one word, @gmail.com. They've got Ridgy Didge songs and poems for Aussie kids. They've got Boomerang Moon, which of course is Susan Calcari. And they've got My Country, Australia's Favourite Bush Verse, where we got the man from Snowy River. That's Mel, Susie and Milton Taylor. And also they've got Land of the Rainbow Gold, which has also got special guests on that. And that, of course, is Frank Fayers, which is Mel's dad. And I am going to do my best to try and get Frank on the program, okay? So if you want to find out anything about Mel and Susie, check them out on Facebook, or why not shoot them an email, melandsusieontour@gmail.com. That's our program for the day, listeners, and don't forget to check it out next week, where we'll be doing part three of Lightning Ridge.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roamin' Oz.